Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Today I'm sitting down with Natalie Tumann. She's a mom, breast cancer survivor, executive director of the Tumann Breast Cancer Foundation, personal trainer, fellow podcast host, and Burn Bootcamp member of Prosper Texas. She shares her survival journey openly and connects with others through writing, speaking, training, and working alongside her community. So Natalie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so you and I had the opportunity to meet a couple weeks back when I was in Texas for one of our regional trainings. And I knew from just afar that you were a light in the not only in just, you know, that gym, but in your community in general. And so, of course, I learned that you were also a trainer. And Deepal mentioned to me that, you know, you had this foundation and that you had this incredible story that I knew I had to have you on the podcast. So I know today I want to talk a little bit about your story and, you know, kind of just your journey and what you've struggled with and kind of where you're at today. And I know a lot of our listeners will get a lot out of it. So let's just dive right in and talk a little bit about your background and just a little bit about yourself first.
Okay. Yes. So yeah, I'm a trainer there here at Burn and Prosper, and I've been there since we opened. So it's been just over a year, which has been amazing. So I've been training for, my daughter is 12. So pretty much 12 years now. I've been a personal trainer and was a group instructor. I ran and owned my own boot camp at one point, have an online fitness business. And so fitness is definitely my passion. And that's kind of defined me for the last, you know, more than a decade. And then here recently, you know, I've had health issues that have kind of shifted a bit. Like fitness has still become a pillar of who I am, but now I've kind of got this other sector to me that I feel has started to work its way and weave its way into defining me.
Yeah, and I know you put yourself out there a lot, and you've been sharing your story, you know, through your own podcast, through connecting in your community, through your foundation. And so let's tell our listeners, you know, the journey of your breast cancer diagnosis and kind of what happened and what actually led you to that point of saying, uh-oh, I need to go see a doctor.
So I had been washing with a loofah for years. You know, I think that that's pretty common to either wash with a washcloth or a loofah or some other apparatus. And I had a friend of mine who was also my provider. She's a nurse practitioner, and she kept telling me how disgusting it was and that I needed to get rid of it because they're nothing but just germ infested things. And so I finally listened to her, and that night I washed with my hands and I found a very large concerning lump, and the next day was actually in for a diagnostic mammogram and ultrasound. That was, I found it on a Thursday night. Friday morning I was in for imaging. Monday morning I had my biopsy, and Wednesday I was diagnosed with stage 3 metastatic breast cancer. So it had, I had a few lumps in my breast. It was in my lymph nodes, and there was actually a tumor that was underneath my thoracic cavity as well.
Okay. And I know when you and I have talked in the past, you were saying how, you know, you had just gotten done breastfeeding, or maybe you were starting to wean off breastfeeding. And so, you know, obviously like that brings a lot of different, you know, our boobs feel a lot different, right? They're going through changes. But was there just this gut instinct that said, okay, I feel this, I need to call the doctor? Or, well, you know, I'm just thinking, because we feel things sometimes and we just kind of brush it off like, oh, I don't think that's going to be a big deal. Like, was there something that just clicked in you that said, I need to call the doctor tomorrow and just be sure?
Well, luckily, again, my friend, she was my provider. And so that night when I felt it, yes, you're right. Like I had just, this was in June, and I had stopped breastfeeding in like March or April. So I thought, well, maybe it's just a clogged duct that's left over, but it was on the left side, and I was extremely flat too. So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Like I was flat as all get out, and it was on this side. And so it was just an odd feeling, and it was very round. But no, I definitely did not think it was cancer when I felt it. But the next morning, I went to my workout and I took my friend into the bathroom because I had been calling her and she was already asleep. And so I went to her and was like, is this normal? And she was like, yeah, no, that's not normal. And so she's the one that actually sent me in. But even with her saying that, you know, she had said, like, I'm sure it's just a cyst. It's very common. You're young. You just got finished breastfeeding. It's probably nothing to worry about. But let's just go get imaging done just in case. So, and that's how I went into the appointment feeling. I really didn't think it was anything until I went in. They did the mammogram. They took me back to a different waiting room and said, okay, we need to do some additional images. Then they called me in again for additional images and then an ultrasound. And then the radiologist was sitting there talking to me and she was very quiet. And afterwards, she kept talking to me and she just started saying the words cancer like over and over again. And I was like, what is happening? And she said, you know, we're going to need you in here first thing Monday morning for a biopsy. And so when she sat me down with the scheduler had this stack of paperwork. And on the top was a piece of paper that said, your cancer nurse navigator. And I was like, okay, that's like for the patient before me. No, that's what she handed to me as I walked out. So that was kind of like just a whirlwind that very first day that it all went down.
Yeah. And you're so young. I mean, you weren't even to the point where mammograms were recommended yet, right? Which I think they start at what, 40 years old now, or is it earlier? I don't even know.
Yeah. It's at 40 is when you're supposed to. I was 38 when I was diagnosed. Yeah. So,
you know, obviously this is a big shock to you. You're super healthy. You've been taking care of yourself for, you know, decades. You are a personal trainer. You eat well. I'm sure not only was it a shock, but also, you know, like, man, I've been doing all the right things. Like, did you ever have that moment of why me?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, yes, because I was at the pinnacle of my health. I mean, my husband was so frustrated. He's like, this should not be happening to you of all people. Because I did. I mean, I was very diligent about getting my checkups and just doing all of the right things that you're supposed to do with your health. I felt like I was doing the right things. And then this happened. So I did, for sure, you question. But it was like the minute I would question, in fact, it was my husband who first ever said to me, he was like, you know, everybody's going to have a battle. Everybody has a battle in life, whether it's in their marriage or with their children, or maybe it's finances or whatever it is, everyone's going to have a battle. And he's like, and this is ours right now. You know, this is the one that we got dealt. So that kind of put it into perspective for me. Didn't make it any easier, but, you know, it did.
Sure.
It puts it into perspective, but because I think that anytime some of us get hit with something like that, it's definitely a why me. And at the beginning, you just kind of gear up to fight. And so it wasn't later until I started kind of getting more into the pity party and getting mad and feeling more as it went on.
Yeah. And so treatments, I would assume, started pretty much immediately for you. What were some of the things that carried you through those hard days throughout your, you know, fighting cancer journey?
Yes, they started pretty quickly. I was diagnosed on June 27th and my first chemo treatment was on July 12th. So it was a very quick process, but mine was also not a from point A to point B process. I think I had every complication pretty much that you could have along the way. So it was very trying for all of us. But I think on my hardest days, I mean, don't get me wrong, there were days I tried to be positive, right? Because I did have three kids. Well, I do have three kids still. But I had a 1-year-old at the time, a 4, and I think she was, let's see, I was in 2018, so she was 10, right? So, you know, I tried to be strong for them because you don't have any other choice.
Yeah.
And a lot of days that was the deal. It was like there just wasn't an option. I mean, this is just what I had to do. But then there were days when I was on the bathroom floor crying, you know, just begging it to stop, you know, anything that I could, you know, there's a lot of times behind closed doors where no one would be there, you know, no husband, no parent, no support system, where I was just by myself and would fall down. But I think that the fact that I had been so diligent about my health physically and mentally, so it wasn't just physical health. I think, you know, up to that point, I was in a pretty good place. I had done a lot of personal growth over the last 10 years. And so I was in a pretty decent place. There's always room for more growth, but I was strong for all intents and purposes. And I think had I not been, I wouldn't be in the shoes that I am now. There were some very, very close calls. And so I know, I truly feel like that's kind of why I was preparing for this my whole life and never knew it. And so that I've realized now, like, that's what carried me through.
Yeah. And I think that's such an important message because, you know, we don't just need to work out to look good. We need to work out to prepare ourselves, our bodies, mentally, physically, emotionally, for when tragedy might strike or adversity might strike, or you may get that diagnosis, you know, like yourself. And so talk to us a little bit about how fitness continues to play a big role in your life and just taking the best care of yourself, to be well equipped for anything that may come in the future.
I think it's in a few different ways. Like, for one, it's made me be able to relate to others in a completely different way, right? So if we have a member who is really struggling, right, and she has pain somewhere, it's like, I get it. You know, I hurt all the time. So it's like, I now I can relate. They may look at me and not feel like I know and can relate to that, but I can. And I know how frustrating it can be mentally to not be able to do something that your body was once able to do. It's very frustrating. So I feel like I can relate to people at a different level, you know, with that. And that's a blessing in disguise. I hate it, but at the same time, I love it, you know, because there's things to this day that I physically can't do. I still can't do a pull-up because I have too much scar tissue. I don't have full range of motion. I can't do a pull-up, and that kills me. That is just so mentally frustrating. So, but I still believe, like you had said, I mean, one of the biggest message I have for people is that it's not the outward that really matters. It's more about what's going on the inside, and you cannot wait for tragedy to strike. You can't wait until you get a health diagnosis or until you're going through something before you decide, okay, now I'm going to start taking care of myself. Like, that's got to start now. And it doesn't have to mean that you're going, you know, and working out 7 days a week, going as hard as you can. That's not what it's about, you know? And I don't believe in, you know, 100% restriction and going, you know, I don't believe in the extremes anymore. I truly believe in living life, but living it in the most healthy way that we can. So, and that's what I like to share with others as well.
Yeah. And so speaking of sharing with others, I know you also have created the foundation that coming out of this cancer journey. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you've been able to give back now and what your goals are, you know, to as you continue to live life and impact other people, not just, you know, through fitness, but now through your foundation.
So it's been so exciting. Like, it gets me all excited every time I work on it or talk to people about it. It's such a blessing to me. But, when I was diagnosed in 2018, there was a group that put together this event for me, and it was a yoga and mimosas event. So they had a yoga event, and then they had mimosas, and they had different vendors out there to raise money for my family and I, and it was truly life-changing for us. It just made such a difference, not just monetarily, but to see the support. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so the following year, I was like, people kept asking me, they were like, hey, we want to do something for Breast Cancer Month because it was October. So what should we do? I didn't know. And so anyway, long story short, we ended up doing the event again, replicating it on a little bit of a larger scale, and then giving all the funds to a woman. And so then COVID hit, couldn't necessarily do that. But through walking with friends and kind of talking, it was like, you know what, this is something that could actually turn into something. Because I felt a sense of purpose and peace for the first time in a really long time when I was actually trying to organize that event. So I thought, well, maybe that's the route that I need to go. And so just took a leap of faith. And we founded the Tumen Breast Cancer Foundation just this year. It's an official 501c3. And it's been amazing. And our goal is our mission is to financially and emotionally assist women that are going through their journey here within our local community, just so that we can love on them where they are. So it's not just monetarily, but if we have a woman that is, you know, maybe she needs laundry done for the week or the month, or, you know, her 6 months worth of treatment. Maybe she needs groceries delivered. Maybe she needs her kids' rides taken. Maybe they need meals delivered. Maybe they need their yard done. Like, whatever need that family has, our foundation will meet that need for someone that is currently going through treatment. So we have nominations that people can do on, and then at our event in October is when we will allocate like all of the gifts that have been donated. We partner with people within our local community because that's where the support originated from. And so we're partnering with other local businesses that are sponsoring and donating their time and their services and things to be able to give that to other women. So it's pretty awesome
wow.
to get
well,
to do.
Well, that's incredible. We will definitely be sharing that on the podcast and, you know, allowing other people to contribute to that because, you know, I always find it incredibly, what's the word? I just find it so amazing how people can go through such hardships and adversity and such a, you know, tough time in their life and still like look back and be like, okay, now how can I go help other people that are in this same, you know, on this same journey? Cause I'm sure you still have really hard days, Natalie, right? Where it's like you have hard days, right? Whether that's physically, whether that's emotionally, whether that's spiritually, but you're still willing to go out and help other people. I just think it has something to be – it's something to be said about you and who you are and kind of what you represent. And we just need more people like that in the world. So I'm happy to share this with as many people as we can to get as many funds raised for your foundation. Ladies, make sure you're throwing that loofah away and you're washing with your hands. So thank you guys for tuning in today, and we'll talk to you later. To find Natalie and learn more about the Tumen Breast Cancer Foundation, go to www.natalietumen.com and go follow on social media at MyThinkFit and at TumenBCF. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells. And follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.